Please open your Bibles to the book of Job, the 7th chapter. Job chapter 7. And in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 574, we'll be reading just one verse, and then we'll be turning to several other scriptures, reading one verse at a time. And so get your page-turning fingers ready. Job chapter 7, we'll be reading the 17th verse. We'll read it in unison. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let's read, please, the 17th verse. What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him? Turn now to Job chapter 15 and verse 14, just a couple pages over. 15th chapter, the 14th verse, let's read, please. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Now, Psalm 8, the eighth Psalm, page 602 in your Schofield Bible. And the 4th verse, Psalm 8, verse 4, let's read. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Now, Psalm 144, and in your Schofield Bible, page 669. Verse 3 of Psalm 144. Let's read, please. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the Son of Man that thou makest account of him? Now, all the way to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2. The second chapter of Hebrews in your Schofield Bible, page 1292, 1292. And here we'll read the 6th verse together. Let's read. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful, wonderful book. Thank you for its preservation, and thank you that we today have just as much thy word as they of old days, as much as was ever in eternity with thee. Thank you for our Bibles. Thank you for the faithful preaching of it here for many years. Especially thank you for the preacher that we have who loyally and faithfully stands for thy preserved word. We pray that you'd bless us today as we're here for the purpose of hearing your word. For faith truly cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Meet with us, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I need your help because I cannot be a help to these whom I want to help so desperately unless I have your help. May I please have it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit up straight, look right this way. Listen to me very carefully. 5 times, are you listening to me? 5 times in the Bible, you have the same question asked. The question, what is man? Only 5 times. In Job 7:17, in Job 15:14, in Psalm 8, in Psalm 144:3, in Hebrews 2:6, you have the same question that is asked. The author is simply saying, what is man? For example, the most famous of those, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And he is startled, amazed. What he's saying is, I can't believe that the God of heaven is mindful of man. I can't believe that the God of heaven visits man. He's saying, wow, boy, oh boy, zowie, God, the creator of the universe, is mindful of a piece of dust stuck together by a little moisture. He's amazed. All of them are. Man is the least deserving of all of God's creatures. Are you listening? And yet is favored by God over all of them. In fact, man, who is made a little lower than the angels, has been given the opportunity to rise eternally above the angels and be served by the angels who were over him at creation. Now, for example, man is the only one of God's creatures that disobeys him. Think about that. The psalmist said, we're the only one that messed up. In fact, we messed up all the other creatures too. It's our fault that the serpent rise. It's our fault that his tongue is poisonous. It's our fault that the weeds are on the roses. It's our fault that vicious animals are vicious. And yet, what is man? Why are you, the great God of heaven, as the choir sang about so well a while ago, why are you mindful of man? The only disobedient one. Turn me down just a tad, please. The only disobedient one. God spoke to a rod. It obeyed and became a serpent. Then God ordered the serpent to become a rod again. It obeyed and became a rod. God commanded dry bones to grow sinew, and those dry bones obeyed. God spoke and said, let there be light, and nothingness obeyed him, and light lived. God spoke to darkness, and darkness obeyed him and yielded to light. God spoke to the firmament and commanded it to divide the waters, and the firmament obeyed God. God spoke to nothingness and commanded emptiness to bring forth grass, and nothingness and emptiness obeyed, and grass appeared. God spoke and commanded nothingness to bring forth the fruit trees, and nothingness obeyed, and fruit trees appeared. God spoke to nothingness to bring forth herbs, and it obeyed, and to bring forth the rose and the fern and the vine, and nothingness obeyed God. God spoke in Matthew 14. He commanded the wind to be still, and the wind stopped and stood at attention in the presence of God. In Matthew 17, he spoke to a demon to come out, and even the demons obey him. Do you hear what I said? Even the demons obey him, and you won't tithe. The demons obey him, and you don't care about doing his will. David said, and Paul said, and Job said, as wicked as man is, and as little as man is, what is man that thou, the great omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent King of kings and Lord of lords, would be mindful of man and visit man? I don't understand it, they said. Mark 1:27, he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him. In Matthew 8:27, he tells the wind and the sea to hush, and they hushed and obeyed him. In Mark 4:41, he tells the wind and sea to stop their commotion. In Luke 8:25, he says, stand still to the wind and the sea, and they obeyed. He ordered the rock in Horeb to bring forth water for Moses, and the rock obeyed. In Joshua 10:12, he orders the sun to stand still. And in verse 13, it says the sun obeyed and stood still. The same verses say that God commanded the moon to stand still, and the moon stopped. And the entire universe came to a halt. Venus obeyed. Mars obeyed. Jupiter obeyed. Saturn obeyed. Neptune obeyed. The North Star obeyed. Judges chapter 5 and verse 20. A battle was raging, and God enlisted the stars into his army and commanded them. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. And the stars, are you listening? The stars obeyed God. In creation, God commanded a star to become, and it was. In Matthew chapter 2, he commanded that star to go to Bethlehem and hover over the Christ child and the manger of Bethlehem, and the star obeyed.
Our Lord spoke to the dead to come forth, and they obeyed. He ordered deaf ears to hear, and they heard. He ordered blind eyes to see, and they saw. He ordered lame legs to walk, and they walked. He ordered palsied hands to be calm, and they stilled. Jesus spoke to a fish to pick up a coin. He ordered to come to shore, and he obeyed. He charts the course of every fish in the sea and files the flight plan for every bird that flies. He told the storms to go to sleep, and they obeyed. He ordered fever to cool, and it cooled. He commanded the sea to part, and it parted. He commanded a raven to go to McDonald's and get a sandwich for Elijah, and the raven obeyed. A dove to pick up an olive branch, announcing the end of the flood. And the dove obeyed the command of Almighty God. Animals obeyed him and entered the ark. He commanded water to become wine, and water obeyed him. He ordered the fig tree to wither, and it did. He marshaled angels to go to shepherd's fields, and angels obeyed him. He sent an angel to go to Joseph, and it did. To go to Mary, and it did. To go to the empty tomb, and it did. To go to Philip on Gaza, and it did. To go to Zacharias, and it did, to strengthen Jesus after 40 days and 40 nights, and it did. He ordered the angel to go to Pool of Bethesda, and it did. He ordered the angel to go to jail and release Peter, and it did. He ordered the angel to give us the book of Revelation, and it did. He commanded a donkey to speak to Balaam, and it did. He commanded fire to come from Mount Carmel, and fire obeyed and came. He commanded a ram to go to a certain thicket and to be there for Abraham to offer in the place of Isaac. Ladies and gentlemen, rams obey him. Fish obey him. Stars obey him. Constellations obey him. Birds obey him. Beasts of the field obey him. And the winds and the waves obey him. And the psalmist and Job and Paul looked up and said, as wicked and vile as man is, who messed up the whole earth, what is man that thou art mindful of him? There are eight things that these writers marvel at. In the first place, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What he's saying is, what is man that you love him? Statement number one this morning, I'd like to make an announcement. He loves me. I don't deserve it, but he loves me. I don't always obey him, but he loves me. And for some reason, he loved me enough to come and live and die and give me a home in heaven and to put me above the angels, and those things made over me will serve me forever. Did you hear the good news? He loves me. But I've got better news than that, ladies and gentlemen. He loves you. Did you hear it, truck drivers? He loves you. Did you hear it, sailors? He loves you. Did you hear it, street people? He loves you. Did you hear it, deaf ones? You didn't. He loves you. Did you hear it, rescue mission man? He loves you. Did you hear it, lonely widow? He loves you. Did you hear it, discouraged man? He loves you. Did you hear it, orphan child? He loves you. Did you hear it, illegitimate child wondering who your parents are? He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And the psalmist said, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? I said, he loves me. I was walking down that aisle right there one night for question and answer time. Little bus kid dressed in rags was sitting next to the aisle. He leaned over to his little friend and said, that's Dr. Jack Hiles. He knows me. That's Dr. Jack Hiles. He knows me. The psalmist said, what is man that he knows me? He knows if you're lonely. He knows if you're sad. He knows if your heart is breaking. He knows if the path is hard. He knows if the clouds are thick. He knows if the darkness is hard to break. He knows your lonely heart. He knows your sad, troubled soul. He knows you. And then I say again, he loves you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Second, what is man that thou shouldest set thine heart on him? And that means he loves me. Mrs. John Rice and I were sitting in a big tent one night. A big auditorium. May have been a tent. I've forgotten it. But it's a big building seated a lot of people. We're sitting back in the back. Dr. John Rice was preaching first, and I was to preach after he did. Mrs. Rice was sitting back there, and Dr. Rice was preaching, and the crowd was right there in the palm of his hand. Mrs. Rice leaned over to me, and she wrote a little note. Dear Dr. Hiles, see that great man up there? He loves me. See that great man up there? He loves me. Hey, see that great God up there? He loves you. See that great omnipotent God? He loves you. See that great powerful God who spoke and trees bloom, who spoke and worlds danced into space, who spoke and the stars obeyed, who spoke and the sun that rose by the morning and set in the evening, who spoke and the moon took its place in the heavens, who spoke and smoke and beast wandered the forest. I'm saying that great God knows you and that great God loves you. What is man? What is man? Weak, insignificant, that little word. What is man? The word in the Hebrew is enosh, which means insignificant, puny, sinful, sorry, good for nothing, undeserving. And the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He knows you. And he said, what is man that thou should set thine heart on him? He loves you. Thirdly, what is man that thou should take knowledge of him? Take knowledge of him. That word knowledge means he studies you. He's studying you. What is man? The psalmist said, weak, insignificant, sinful, undeserving, puny. And by the way, the best of us is undeserving of God's attention. I mean, the purest of us is impure. The highest of us is low. The best of us is bad. The good of us are evil. And God, David said, and Job said, and Paul said, I don't understand it. How the great God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He knows me. He loves me. He studies me. Listen to me, sailors. Listen to me. No talking, sailors. You came to church to hear me whether you knew it or not. He takes knowledge and studies me. He knows when you're lonely. He knows, sailor lad, when you're homesick. He knows truck drivers as you drive across the highway who love to be home at night. He knows lonely street people. He knows when you curl up there in Norwacker Drive. He knows about that. He studies you. He's concerned about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He knows me. What is man that thou shouldest set thine heart on him? He loves me. What is man that thou should take knowledge of him? He studies me. He loves, he knows when I'm lonely. He knows when my heart is breaking in two. He knows when I'm fearful of a coming battle. He knows when I look at the calendar and see my age. He knows when my load is heavier than I can carry. He studies me. He knows the fear I feel, the load I bear, the broken heart we often have. He knows it. He studies you. Hey, praise God this morning. Holy hosannas, heavenly shouts, glory to God, hallelujah, the Creator, the one who holds it all in space. He knows who you are. He loves you individually, and he studies you. There's a fourth thing they said. What is man that thou makest account of him? That means he writes down my deeds. Oh boy, it's been good so far. I've enjoyed it so far. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou settest thine heart on him? And what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? But now it says, what is man that thou makest account? God doesn't write down every time a couple of dogs get in a fight. But he writes it down when a couple of people get in a fight. God doesn't have a record book for cats. God doesn't have a record book for cockroaches. God doesn't have a record book for mice Every time a mouse eats some of your cheese, God doesn't write it down and say, "Oh, that wicked mouse." Okay, God doesn't do it. But God takes account of man. I'm saying God keeps your record. You say, "Preacher, I don't feel very good now." Well, I got some good news for you. Don't despair. Listen to the next one. What is man that thou visitest him? What does that mean? That means God knows me. God loves me. God studies me. God writes down my record. And I cringe and say, "Uh-oh." And then it says he visits me. That doesn't mean God comes to my house, knocks on the door, says, "I'll come in for a while." It means he came to earth 2,000 years ago to visit me. He saw my record was bad. Are you listening? He saw my record was bad. He saw I did more bad than good. And God became flesh, and God came to earth and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. Shepherds watching their flocks by night were arrested by the choir, a host of heavenly angels, as they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Hey, God, Jehovah God, came to visit me. Lived a perfect life and went to Calvary, and on the cross he put my sins against his record and paid the penalty for my sins. The Bible says he, what is man that thou visitest him? What is man that you could love me? What is man that you could know me? What is man that you could study me? What is man that you could take account of me? What is man that you would come? Jesus didn't die for angels. He didn't die for the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the beast of the field. He chose man. He died for you. Hear me. He died for you. Listen to me. He died for you. For you, he took the spittle of the cross. For you, he took the crown of thorns. For you, he took the walking stick as a scepter. For you, he wore a barred soldier's overcoat for a royal robe. For you, a cross was his throne. For you, he was beaten beyond recognition. For you, he dipped his own soul into hell. Thank God! Thank God, said the author. I don't deserve it, but you know me. I don't deserve it, but you love me. I don't deserve it, but you study me. I don't deserve it, but you take account of me. I don't deserve it, but you came to pay the penalty written down on my record. You visit me. There's a sixth one. I may shout on this one. He said, what is man that he should be clean? Wake up and listen to me. I got some news for you. He said, what is man that thou takest account of him? He writes down our sins. What is man that thou visitest him? He paid for our sins. And then the psalmist said, what is man that he should be clean? Sins wiped away. Sins forgiven. Record white as the snow of the wintertime. What is man that he should be clean? Listen, if you trusted Jesus today, you're clean. Your record is clean. What is man that he should be clean? He took my sins off his record. Five times the statement. What is man? What is man, dear God? What am I? Why did you choose man? Why is it that you know me? I fly across the country. I look down and see a sprawling city. And yet, you know me. And you love me. And you study me. And you take account of all I do. And then you visited me. And then you offer to make me clean if I just trust you as my Savior. I don't understand that. Said the psalmist, wow, zowie, what a deal. What is man that he should love me? What is man that he should know me? What is man that he should study me? What is man that he should take an account of me? What is man that he should visit me? And what is man that he should declare? Hey, this morning if you're here, I don't care how deep you've gone. I don't care how far in sin you've gone. You can walk out those doors with your record in heaven as spotless as the record of Jesus Christ himself. By simply trusting him. What is man thou should claim? Number 7. What is man that he should be righteous? What does that mean? What is man? Weak. Enosh. Insignificant. Undeserving. Rotten. And if you want to find out how rotten you are, you read the first chapter of Romans sometime. And then you read the third chapter of Romans sometime. And you see how sorry you are. Don't you stand up and say you're good enough to go to heaven. You're good enough to go to hell. That's what you are. And so am I. But thank God Jesus took note of us. He knew me. He loved me. He studies me. He accounts my sins. And then he paid the price for my sins and wiped them off my record. And then he placed on my record his own personal righteousness. What is man that he should be righteous? And last, the number 8. What is man that thou should magnify him? Magnify man. The psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast smitten the Lord of the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How could the God that made those stars, said David at night, know me, love me, account for me, visit me, make me clean, make me righteous. I don't understand it, but it's true. What is man that thou should magnify him? And that means raise him. What is man that thou should raise him from the dead? You let your little cocker spaniel dog die, he turns to dust and that body stays dust. You let a fly swat a fly, let that fly drop on the window sill and it'll turn to dust. It'll never come back. You let an animal in the field get some kind of distemper. Let him die in the field. His body will rot there and decay and never rise again. But you let my mama pass away out of Howells Anderson College. You let him take that little body and put it out there in that mausoleum at Memory Lane. I'll tell you, bless God, one day that door's going to open. Better still, doesn't have to open. She's going to rise through all those mausoleums. What is man that thou shouldest raise him? Raise him from the dead. Take him to heaven. Make him an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What is man? Hebrews chapter 2 tells us. Ask that question in verse 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Quoting Psalm 8:4. But in Hebrews, listen carefully. In Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 1, Paul is talking about the angels. He's talking about the angels. And then he says to man, made a little lower than the angels. He said, man is the object of God's knowledge. He's saying angels will never be saved. Angels will be under man. He's saying Jesus didn't come for angels. He came for man. Holy. Holy is what the angels sing. I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. But when we sing redemption's story, angels fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that my salvation brings. What is man? What is man, said Job in the ash heap. What is man, said Job with leprosy reeking his body.
What is man, said Job, with 10 little children buried in the cemetery side by side? What is man, said Job, when he lost his wife's loyalty and lost his health, lost his wealth? What is man, said Job, when he went from the most popular man in town to the most despised man in town? Job said, What is man? What am I sitting out here in this ash heap that you should know me, love me, study me, record me, cleanse me, give me your righteousness? And one day he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. What a gospel. What a Savior. What a God. What a salvation. Our Heavenly Father, I marvel as Job did, and as David did, and as Paul did. I marvel that you could know me, undeserving, unrighteous, unholy, weak, sinful. I marvel even more than that, that you could love me. I marvel because you study me. I marvel because you record me. I marvel because you've cleansed me. I marvel because you've given me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I marvel because you're coming again for me to raise my body and magnify me before God and the holy angels. Our heads are bowed.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans.